I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd hear so many people say to me, Charmaine, oh my gosh, I could have had my house looking like this the entire time.
Well, if you've ever been in the market for a house, you know how good a home looks when it's up for sale.
But then when you decide to buy it, it never looks as good as it did staged, no matter how hard you try.
No, it's like a fast food commercial. Those burgers just never look as good coming out of the sack as they do on TV.
That voice you heard off the top was interior designer and lifestyle influencer Charmaine Winter explaining that we can try to make our homes look as good as they do staged while we're living in them.
And we're talking about that this week because, Chris, your generation, the millennials, you darn millennials, I'm shaking my fist, is so boring that there's even a color named for you, millennial beige. In fact, it's not really a color when you think about it. In fact, millennial beige has become so associated with that generation, it's become a social media trend to make fun of it, to mock it, particularly by Gen Z.
What can I say? We like to keep it simple.
That's one of our producers, Chris Blake. I'm Mike Rogers. This is Something Offbeats. This week I talked to Charmaine. We love Charmaine. She's a repeat guest on the podcast about those millennials and their bland taste.
We had a lot of young influencers, millennials, who were just tired, I think, of the interiors they grew up with, where their parents had bright colors and more pattern. And so they really gravitated towards interiors that in design is really a Scandinavian style, where you saw a lot of blonde woods, you saw a lot of neutral palettes, you know, tone on tone, beige, browns, grays. It was simple. It embraced natural elements. And it just became a thing where all these millennials were using this aesthetic and just gravitating towards it.
Isn't it also something that homeowners, I hear this all the time, and he said, if we ever sell the house, we want neutral colors.
So true, Mike, 100%. And I blame this not on homeowners, but on realtors, really. Man, I was sick and tired of it. I was one of the designers out there saying, listen, enjoy your home for you. Don't worry about resale, because so many of clients would just, you know, be afraid to do anything that might impact resale values. And my whole thing is, hey, you live in your house, I don't know, a minimum of, let's say, 5 years, anyhow, for the average person, 5 years of blandness and you know, concern. And then what do? They call someone like me or a stager to come in and help them freshen the house for sale.
You're right, because we had one of the homes that we've had, we painted the kitchen red. It was this dark cherry red. It was real pretty. And then we sold the house and the realtor came in and said, well, you got to get rid of that.
Right.
It's kind of cool. We don't want to get rid of it, but we talk about beige. All right. We mentioned millennial beige. Specifically what? We're talking about pretty much everything in the brown and tan family.
Yes. But specifically, we're talking, it's a feel. Millennial beige was just a real clean, simplistic. So whether it was some sort of cream, all the way from a cream, all the way into browns, we also consider that beige. The grays were here for a season, you know, so anything that was very neutral and you could gravitate towards it without having a lot of pattern or a lot of intense color to it. That's really what it was about.
Isn't this stuff kind of cyclical in a way? You said that kids are tired of what their parents had, and their parents were probably tired of what their parents had.
100%. You're right. It is cyclical. And quite frankly, it keeps the economy going and keeps, you know, people need something fresh. It keeps the market going. You're able to, someone's going to say, hey, that's totally out of fashion. And so, you know, it hits us in our garments that we wear, in the cars that we buy. You have sort of a 7-year itch, really. And that's typically how long a design trend lasts.
I'm intrigued by this idea of a 7-year design trend. So I Googled some of the most popular trends from 7 years ago, 2017. Ready for these?
Let's do it.
Well, we're talking about millennial beige right now. Millennial pink, apparently, was a phrase that came up often in 2017 design articles. Yeah. That's not one I remember being everywhere, though. Do you?
No, thank God. What is that, like, just like mauve?
I think so. Others included retro color palettes and minimal decor, both of which I don't mind.
I think I may have lived in that apartment in college.
But then there were a few that some reviewers listed as bad trends, including flesh tones and rose gold. I definitely remember when you could get literally any product you wanted in rose gold, and that was not my favorite.
That color always reminded me of a wine cooler.
I could see that. But then there was one rated negatively that I do kind of like. Subway tile in a bathroom or on a backsplash, but hey, I'm not the interior designer.
Boy, you got that right. Let's get back to the person who is, though.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are some of the defining trends of the various generations? We're talking about Gen Z, and the millennials and the boomers. And what are the different groups like?
Oh my goodness. So boomers, they really embraced an aesthetic that was cozy. It's a little bit more traditional, not as traditional as their parents, but it's traditional. It's classic. They like things that are soothing and comfortable. Gen Xers, they came along and they were like, well, wait a minute here. We like it soothing and calm, but we're thinking more along the lines of earth tones. We care about the environment. We want to say that, you know, we care about the earth we're leaving for the next generation. So you saw things like, you know, sand tones, water tones, greens, sages were big for Gen Xers. Then the millennials came along and they really embraced nostalgia. That was big for them. And right about then, Mad Men came into, you know, on television and the types of things we were seeing. So millennials, they're all about being the mid-century modern, right? That's new enough for them because their parents didn't have that. And so they like the clean woods that you saw, mid-tone woods, and the bright contrast where you were seeing patterns, a lot of geometrics. Millennials were all about that. Gen Zers, they make their mark by being the, I would say, the generation that is all about organized.
Do younger generations have a lot less clutter in their homes?
I think that's true for every generation of a young person. And that's because you're starting out with less typically, right? Right. You don't have as much money. You're coming out of college and you just don't have as much. You're getting started. However, as we age, we seem to acquire more, amass more. And so that's where the junk or the possessions start to come along. Although, having said that, we are seeing a big shift, a big trend change. As I mentioned, you know, millennials are now interested in nostalgia, as I said, and they're moving away from having aesthetics that are just so neutral and so clean and don't embrace what they personally like. And so you're starting to see what we're calling, you know, modernization, that they're calling it. And they are moving towards what we saw years ago as maximalist interiors, right? They're embracing vibrancy of life, nostalgia from the years past. They're into upcycling. So upcycling, which is called secondhand thrifting, they're doing that. They're looking at items, purchasing items now that are built to last. Their interiors, they speak about what they're interested in.
How is this reflected in terms of the colors they like? As we talked about millennial beige, that's on its way out. What's in?
Vibrancy. You're seeing so much vibrancy. So reds are in, oranges, blues are in, greens are in, color is in. The big difference is what I said there, vibrancy. It's not quite neon, but it definitely isn't the soft, soothing hues that we have seen the neutrals in times past. You are now going to see rich colors.
Not muted, not pastels. These are like in your face, slap your mama colors.
These, you've seen a lot of contrast. Slap your mama now. That's a scary thought for a Jamaican Canadian. Okay, so my mama, no slapping, no nothing with my mama. So I got to be very careful. She's listening. She'll listen to this. But definitely much more vibrant. I want to be very careful and say, this is a generation that likes neon, but it's like a hazy neon. It's not quite to disco, but it's a haze to the neon. It's definitely got more intensity than we've seen in the last few years.
Do you think these trends represent themselves outside the home in terms of the cars that young people drive and their entertainment options, that type thing?
Absolutely, 100%. This is key. As I mentioned, I cannot say the word personalization too much. They want to express themselves in every which way, and it's showing up in the clothing that they're wearing, the combinations. If you can remember, Mike, back to the 70s and 60s, where men took more risks and had a lot more pattern than we have seen in the last few decades, then you're getting closer to where they are. The socks are vibrant. The color pants that men are wearing is much more vibrant than we've seen in the past. Patterns are strong, coming on strong. You're going to see so many more patterns. You also will see cars. Cars tend to be one of the last frontiers in when you're seeing a color embrace. And so if you're seeing hues in the automotive industry, it's almost beyond the trend. It's now made its way into the classics. A client of mine just purchased a bright orange Corvette. That's a commitment. I'm seeing orange. I'm seeing purples in some sport car options. Green is always good. And the hue, the shade of green, you're starting to see some changes. A lot of teal, moving towards that teal family. So definitely creeping into other aspects of our lives.
This is awesome. And you make up a good point there. It's not just colors, it's patterns too. I've got a whole drawer full of Argyle socks.
Yes. And you're going to see the ties. It's coming out in the ties. The other day, I had a good friend say to me, "Hey, what do you think of that, Charmaine?" And we were watching a sports coverage, and the anchors on there, the news anchors, and one of the guys had on a jacket. It was plaid, a very large plaid. I say plaid. Plaid's probably the wrong word. It was a pinstripe, but in a grid pattern. So, not plaid like if you're anticipating that. But it was a navy sport coat with magenta grids, pinstripe grids on it. And he was totally fascinated with that combination. And this is coming from a classic dude.
He's not going to get lost in a crowd.
You're definitely not going to happen. And, the sportscaster, he followed it up with a magenta tie. So definitely, as I said, it's getting gutsier.
You talk about loud colors and patterns in your Argyle socks. Is that your preferred look?
Now, my initial reaction to that question is to strongly deny it. But then I remembered that I actually once owned an Argyle tie.
Argyle socks, I think, are still pretty common, though.
I think every man has at least one pair tucked away somewhere.
But I think there may be some truth to what Charmaine said about each generation wanting to do something different than what their parents did. I know growing up, our house was hardly loud, but my sister and I did both have wallpaper at one point in our bedrooms, and all of the couches in the living rooms were a fairly bright color.
And now you're the opposite?
Kind of. We bought our first house just over a year ago, and a lot of the furniture is brown, white, gray. We painted most of the inside last fall, and we did it in white.
Oh, really? Well, what kind of white? There are different kinds, you know. Eggshell and all that.
I learned that when we were looking at Home Depot for paint colors. There's more whites than you can ever imagine. More of any color than you can ever imagine.
White is not always white, but still kind of boring.
Well, when we do the bedrooms over the summer, we are going to try to sneak in a few accent walls. Just don't know what colors yet. I want to go TCU purple, but I think my wife is going to pump the brakes on that one.
It's pretty rough.
What about you? Is your decor different from the home where you grew up?
It's as different as it is possible to be. For one thing, there's no plywood on the wall. There's no Naugahyde furniture. There's no shag carpet, although I do still have a turntable.
Those are back.
So we mentioned that this is cyclical. It tends to be. So I don't know what the next generation is going to be called after Gen Z, but are we going back to beige?
Absolutely not for the foreseeable future.
Okay. You're adamant about that.
Not for the foreseeable future. We are, as I said, the maximalist interiors until we get that out of our system. And I think, you know, a lot of that has to do with coming out of the pandemic. Folks really had to live with these neutral, bland, personality-free zones that they had created where there were no walls. And then the pandemic happened and you know, that you had to live in that box and realize that, wait a minute here, we've got more volume, ceiling height, than we do square footage, and we have no walls. And it became a thing. And then your kids were home and, you know, you had to be with your, in your bubble, and you had to be with your family. And so really start to examine how they wanted to use their homes. And that's when they were saying, wait a minute here, why are all these walls white? When I open up my closet, what makes me happy, what gives me joy is this color or that color, this pattern or that. And they began to crave those things. And you're seeing a resurgence of cooking and different types of cooking, and everything as color and just reinforces that we're alive.
I love it. Charmaine, it's been awesome. And I thank you so much, as always, for taking a couple of minutes to talk with them. I've learned a lot.
I have loved educating you, Mike, and I'm happy to do it anytime. You just let me know.
I'm Mike Rogers, and thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake. Audio editing by Bree Flores. Original music by Myron Kaplan, and editorial support from Cooper Mall. Now, if you enjoyed this episode with Charmaine, check out her appearance this past November when we talked about the world's most expensive toilets. And to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, send it to us at somethingoffbeat@Audacy. That's AUDACY.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Audacy app or wherever you get your podcasts.